Ruined Dits back on your radio in 2019. The Screaming Jets, Dave Gleeson and Channel 7's Alana Smith. Morning.
Morning. Welcome back to winter.
Yeah, it's fantastic, isn't it?
I must say as well, one last time as well. Are we going to do a Farnham maybe?
What's that?
One last time. It's Friday. It's the end of your show today.
Yeah, this is actually the last time.
Yeah,
it's not. We won't be back next week.
Bloody cricket, Sam. Speaking of the weather, if you've seen summer, yeah, tell her we're looking for her, hey? What's going on with that?
It's unbelievable. Hey. I've got the scarf and jacket on this morning, walking in the pelting rain and wind. What's going on? It's the middle of December.
And you're off to Sydney today as well. It's not looking any good there either.
No, it's looking terrible over on the East Coast. Sydney, Victoria, and of course up in Queensland, they've got Cyclone Owen as smashing across the Gulf of Carpentaria. So, yeah, beautiful summer. Imagine if you've come over here from Europe going, oh, I must escape the cold and come to Australia for summer.
But at least it's looking good in the west for Test cricket.
That's exactly right. It's going to be a scorching 40 degrees over there today to start off.
Nice.
There will be some moist jock straps over there.
What's coming up, guys, in the show?
Well, we're going to be talking about all things Adelaide. And we're going to be talking about Bruce Springsteen. There's plenty of stuff to get through the Friday with.
And big story coming out of New South Wales, phones banned in schools. So we're going to chat about that.
Nice. Let's kick it off with Gleeso's Adelaide Christmas song.
Oh, how wonderful.
You haven't heard it yet. You can check out the video as well. MMM.com.au. All I want from Christmas, all I want for Christmas, in fact, is Adelaide.
Two front teeth.
Dave Gleeson, MMM.
Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Yeah, we kick off with yesterday being Adelaide's coldest December day since 1968. The mercury barely climbed above 16 degrees. And it's just the extremes, isn't it? Over 35 degrees the day before, and then we're shivering yesterday.
Yeah, it got down to 8 degrees at Mount Lofty, and Mount Crawford bottomed out at 9 degrees. It's just unbelievable.
It's fairly chilly for this time in December. And obviously, with all the wind and rain, etc., lots of lost power. 4,000 properties were still in the dark at 6 o'clock last night.
My question is, I don't want to sound like Andrew Bolt here. Actually, I never want to sound like Andrew Bolt, being a climate change denier. But obviously, when it's hot in June, everyone's like, "Oh my God, this is it! Scorched earth policy." What about now? Is it when it's the coldest day in December in 50 years? Are we looking at an ice age or something? Or
surely it's got to raise eyebrows.
Surely there's another side to the global warming, and it might be that we're going into an ice age.
Maybe. You heard it here first.
having said that, it's 40-something degrees in Perth right now.
I think just in general we need to shift our perception of what seasons are and what things should happen at particular times. Because as a kid, I just remember Christmas being really hot, but for the last however long, it's often raining on Christmas Day.
Yep, and it's like the real heat comes, especially down here in February, March.
Yep.
That's when we really start scorching. But it's one of those things, everyone freaks out. Oh my God, it's so hot. When's it going to get better? Well, give it a day or two and it'll be fine.
All right. Well, in other news, 12:50 p.m. today, Adelaide time. It'll be the first ball of the second test. Australia looking to level the series against India. The new Perth Stadium on show. It's promising to be quick and bouncy, which should favour the Aussies.
Yeah, definitely. We've got our bowling attack is one of those things that really hasn't been brought into question over the last few tests. I think they've been pulling their weight. It's the batsmen that need to start wielding the willow and making some big scores. The test that just finished in Adelaide earlier on in the week, obviously 31 runs. It's not a shellacking.
It turned into a great test, stretch. Great contest. Yeah. They had Punter back at training yesterday, so he's been passing on pearls of wisdom. Apparently, they're trying to get all the ex guys back in, and Justin Langer is a big West Coast Eagles fan and a board member. And when they played a one day there, the Aussies used the Freo dressing room, and he found found it very uncomfortable being there. So he switched things up for this test and they'll be in the West Coast rooms, the right. Aussies.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I mean, being from the eastern states and the state of origin being so big, I believe that that Queensland's dominance can be put down a lot to the older older guard having a lot of influence and a lot of interaction with the new players who are out there on the field. So hopefully that'll work really well for the Aussies.
Indeed. Let's hope so. They need a good start again. And another story that caught our attention this morning is handheld speed guns will be back in use from today in this state after there was a big loophole that saw them away for a while.
This is crazy. In 2016, a lawyer successfully argued for someone who'd been charged for speeding by a speed gun. He didn't say that the speed guns were faulty or that they had anything wrong with them, but the testing of the speed guns was faulty and was open to you know, misinterpretation. So
it was a calibration issue.
But it wasn't that they were calibrating them wrongly. Ah. It was just that they could be calibrating them wrongly, and because of that, 125 cases got thrown out. But they're back on deck now. So if you see a cop pointing a gun at you as you're driving
slow
along
down.
Too fast,
slow down in the rain. Anyway,
if it happens to me, I'm still going to go, is that calibrated?
Who calibrated this damn thing?
That's what's making news. Triple M's ruined it. It's for breakfast on Triple M, coming to Netflix.
Those tramps like us, baby, we were born to run.
More than anything else, I wanted to be able to tell that story well to you.
Everybody has a love-hate relationship with their hometown. If you take me, I'm Mr. Born to Run.
I currently live 10 minutes from my hometown.
Yeah, I'm hooked.
Absolutely. I mean, look, Bruce Springsteen, he's got to be at the top of the heap. One day, I guess, when sadly he passes away, they'll stuff him and mount him and put him in the Smithsonian Institute in the United States, I imagine, with a guitar slung around him. 20 Grammys he's won over the years.
That is a big number. Is that as big as they get?
I'm thinking it must be. I'm thinking probably no one's ever won that many Grammys. But he's just done he's just about to finish a historic run at the Walter Kerr Theatre in New York. 236 shows he's done there on Broadway, which is a theatre on Broadway. So that's what this Netflix special is all about.
And I bet it's been full every night.
Oh, absolutely. He's an absolute icon. The great thing about him is he'll never run for president. He's got too much class for that. But the fact that he's been on there, he tells the songs, stories about the songs. Mm-hmm. He's a great storyteller as well, as we know from his songwriting. But he's just got one of those voices that you could kind of listen to all day. And the stories, I mean, he was without Born to Run coming out, he was in big trouble as far as, you know, everyone was saying, oh, he's the new Dylan and all this stuff. And when that came out, it kind of cemented his spot or started his journey to being the greatest. And then I can still remember 1984 when Born in the USA came out. Me and my mates just absolutely hammered that album. So it'd be great to see this on Netflix on Sunday.
Yeah, you're clearly a big fan, but not everyone is as big a fan of his.
He's a very unassuming character, and the story goes that he was that Bono was spotted at dinner by a man, and his wife was sitting there, and the wife was a huge Bono fan, and he was at dinner with this dude, and when Bono went to the toilet, the husband walked up and said to the dude that he was having dinner with, mate, is that Bono? And the guy goes, yeah. He goes, would it be all right if we get a photo with him? And he says, I'll ask him when he comes back. So Bono comes back, they have a little discussion. They call the wife over, yeah, you can have a photo. So she gets the guy with Bono to take a photo of her and Bono. She's elated. And then they go back to their table. Bono and his friend finish their dinner and leave. So the couple who are on their anniversary, and the wife was still buzzing because she'd had a photo with Bono, they go over to pay, and the maitre d' says, oh, you don't have to pay for your food. It's already been paid for. And the wife said, oh, my God, did Bono pay for it? And the maitre d' said, no, Mr. Springsteen paid for it.
Stand-up guy.
Sitting there, they were totally oblivious that the boss was actually Bono. Who's Bono? Who's the boss, man? But, so he's a very unassuming character by all accounts, and just a true icon. And of rock and roll. So it'll be a great thing to see this. I cannot wait. On Netflix on Sunday. It's going to be on at 6 p.m.
Yeah, it should be great viewing, and you need to get yourself Netflix.
I do, yes. It's Ruined Dits for breakfast, Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined Dits overnight sports.
Well, a scorcher in Perth today with a top of 38 forecast for the start of the second test between India and Australia. The Aussies have named an unchanged lineup and an unchanged batting order from the one that lost in Adelaide.
We don't want to be throwing Finchie around the order. We want him to settle into a spot, so I would imagine he would stay at the top.
And plenty of pace in the pitch as well, with curators at Perth Stadium unveiling a bright green top that's set to provide plenty of bounce for the bowlers. Play gets underway at 12:50 our time, with the Aussies looking to level the series at 1-1.
Come on, Aussie. In women's cricket, the Adelaide Strikers fly off to Hobart today to play the Sydney Thunder, not once but twice at Blundstone Arena this weekend. The boys get to kick off their Big Bash campaign in Brisbane next Wednesday.
I wonder why we're playing
Sydney
in Hobart.
Very strange.
Have to find out about that.
Scheduling, I would imagine.
To footy news, and Adelaide defender Daniel Talia is facing a 10-week layoff after having knee surgery this week. He's not expected back in full training for the end of February, just a month before the Crows' first game. Meantime, Hamish Hartlett, Matthew Broadbent and Sam Hayes are all continuing their comeback from long-term injuries at Port Adelaide's pre-season training camp in Noosa.
I'd go to Noosa for
Noosa?
A training
camp.
Don't
yes,
worry
please.
About that. The Sandful has taken the wraps off its 2019 fixture, revealing more games will be played under lights and on Sunday afternoons next year. Sunday afternoon, it's the playground of the footy. I love it. There'll also be three games played on Good Friday.
And a second NRL star has been accused of sexual assault in less than a month. St George Illawarra's Jack DeBellin is accused of assaulting a 19-year-old woman at an apartment in Wollongong in the early hours of Sunday morning. Another man was reportedly involved too. The club's released a statement saying it is working with authorities, including police and the integrity unit.
These young blokes have got to get their act together in the rugby league.
That is five in total this off-season alone.
Just an absolute travesty that they're carrying on like this. Anyway, hopefully they can put an end to it. Kurt Fernley's marathon gold at the Commonwealth Games has been given the nod as the best sporting moment of the year. What an absolute champion he is. The AIS Sports Performance Awards also including an honour for retiring supercar driver Craig Lowndes, voted ABC Sports Personality of the Year. Rock on, Lowndesy.
Rock on. And that's the sport. Next, we'll talk phones in schools. Should they be banned? We'll take your calls too. Should they be banned?
Yes.
All right, cool. Alana's just sitting there looking at me. Dave Gleeson, Alana Smith filling in for Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Big topic in New South Wales. Primary school students will no longer be allowed to bring their mobile phones to school as of next year in a bid to reduce stress, bullying and sex images. And the state government announced the move yesterday following a review into their use in classrooms.
We know that things like online bullying, inappropriate sharing of explicit images and predatory behaviour from strangers is on the rise. And that's why we're introducing a restriction on mobile phones in primary schools to ensure that our schools continue to be safe and also productive learning environments. The very simple message for parents of primary age students is that phones stay in school bags during school hours.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, obviously, the school has a point of contact. There's the office if anything needs to be done urgently, if parents need to get in touch with their kids. But, the distractions that these devices provide are far too many for kids to be able to be trusted not to stuff around with them and detract from their learning time.
And particularly for primary school students, if we're talking, you know, sex images, etc., it's just totally inappropriate for kids of that age to be being exposed to that all day and having access to that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bullying thing that we talk about, it's something that pervasive. It goes beyond just face to face. It can be on the phone, and so you can be getting bullied at school without having any actual face to face interaction with your bully. And it's I know that as kids get into secondary school, they start to want a bit more independence and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use phones for good to research stuff and Google and things like that. But I think there's other tools. I think just about every student in Australia has got a laptop nowadays,
right, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's so. Right. They've got plenty available for them to do that. And also just the distraction of it. Like,
that's
they're
right.
not focusing on their lessons if they're on their phone all the time.
We've seen adults. I mean, you see adults. People walk out in front of cars while they're on their phones. So, you know, it comes to the stage where I think the tail's been wagging the dog for a lot of these issues. Sometimes you just have to tell kids that's the way it is. You can come up with all the excuses that you like, but you're not going out on Saturday night. You're not doing this. You're the parent. We're the parents, and sometimes you just got to lay down the rules, and that's that.
So a good old-fashioned grounding, you think?
Oh, bloody yeah.
Remember those?
Yes, indeed. Oh, do I?
You were well accustomed with them.
Yeah, my brother was the king of it. He'd come up. He used to come upstairs on a Friday night and say, am I still grounded? And the olds would say, yep. He'd just walk downstairs again. And then the night would come where he'd say, am I still grounded? They'd say, no, you finished last week. And then he'd get grounded that very weekend. He was a brilliant exponent of the art. But, yeah, I think that it's a fair enough thing. I hate that you have to legislate these things, that common sense doesn't prevail. But, look, if that's the way that they're going to have to tackle the issue, our standards in literacy and numeracy are way, way down. We're spending too much time teaching kids about social interaction and not enough time teaching them the reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Well, I guess the fact that it is legislated helps those parents that were already thinking this way.
Sure.
Because it's really hard when other kids are allowed to do things and whatever. At least if it's a blanket rule for everyone, then it's easier for parents in that way.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Michael from Findon. Good morning to you. What's your take on this topic, Michael?
Yeah. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very
great,
well.
Great, thanks.
Yeah, look, I'm 100% behind that because I'm a big advocate of not having phones, not only just in primary school, but even in high schools as well. I think more than the bullying side, I mean, the bullying side happens outside of school as well as inside of school, but mostly outside of school. I think the most important thing is the distraction. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a teacher out there in front of 25 to 29, 30 students. It's hard enough to talk to them at the best of times. And then you've got kids with phones and mucking about with phones. And it's the biggest pet hate of mine, and I tell my kids religiously on a weekly basis that if they don't turn their phones off, I'm going to go into the school and tell their teachers they must collect their phones, put them in a box, and they get them back at the end of the class. Because otherwise, one kid starts with it, you're going to have 20 kids doing it.
Yeah, that's right. I don't understand why we're at this stage that that it's cool to have, we can have that distraction. Because I remember when I was at school, if you used a yo-yo, you weren't allowed to have your yo-yo in the classroom, or you weren't allowed.
And basketball cards. And
yeah, that's right. And teachers had the authority to say, right, give us that here. But now with phones, we seem to be scared to
I think there's been the argument that kids need them for safety. Mm. But as you say, the school can easily contact a parent. The parent's got a mobile phone. So, doesn't really stack up.
We're talking to Sam from Semaphore about banning phones in primary schools. What do you reckon, Sam?
Lisa, you're right about a couple of things. That literacy and numeracy statistics are damning. So the last thing that kids need is any other form of distraction. I mean, your point about when we went to school, I'm about your age, no yo-yos. I mean, that was... So I don't understand why a phone, which is even way more distractive, is allowed. And as for New South Wales doing it in primary schools, nice start, but why do we always do a half measure? It's like, no phones, primary, secondary, Australia-wide, end of story.
Nice one. Thanks, Sam.
Taking the hard line.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Michelle from Andrews Farm. What do you think about this topic, Michelle?
I think it's a good idea. My son already goes to a high school that banned mobile phones.
Oh, right. So it's in place already in some schools.
Yeah, it's already in place in the high school. And if they're caught with their phones, they get taken away. And then if they get caught again, it gets taken away from them all day. And then if it's a third offence, it's detention.
Yeah, right. And look, I think that it can be a cooperative thing between parents and the schools. I mean, I imagine a lot of parents would applaud the decision and say, yeah, well, look, I'd rather my kid be learning at school rather than being distracted. So I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
Mm.
Thanks, Michelle. Let's go to Doug from Plimpton. You've got a slightly different take.
Yes, I have. Hi. Good morning, Glissando and Alicia. How are you?
Hey.
I think it's a great idea in general. However, most smart kids are going to be able to access the stuff on their mobiles, on their laptops anyway.
Right.
So, I think if you're going to do it, you've got to have to look at access to other devices as well.
Right. Yeah, well, I know that my daughter at her school, they all have laptops, but those laptops are vetted at the end of every term. They can see the history of searches and stuff like that, and they are specifically for schoolwork. So I know at least at her school there's things in place.
They're keeping track of what's happening. I guess is it too late once it's already sort of happening, or are they?
Well, I guess you get in trouble if they find something on there that's inappropriate or that's not involved with schoolwork. I think you get reprimanded for that. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And my nephew's got one of those iPad things, and I know for a fact, hate to throw him under the bus, he does play games on it.
Yeah. Right. Well. It's hard not to. I mean, I'm not a gamer, but right. Yeah, you saw him.
And the second test, of course, gets underway in Perth today. And to talk more about this, we're joined by Greg Blewett this morning. Morning to you, Bluey.
Morning, Alana.
And you're actually in Perth.
Yes,
I am. Very early start for you. Thanks for joining us.
It's about 5:30, but I've been awake since 4 a.m. So, my first day with Channel 7 today, so I'm very excited, but, geez, I might need a snooze around about the time we go on air. There we go.
Well, you're not the only one on debut, of course. It's a new venue for Test cricket. Have you had a look, and what are you expecting?
Yeah, went down there yesterday afternoon to have a bit of a meeting with Channel 7, had a quick look at the ground. The pitch was covered when I went down, but I spoke to some people that have seen the pitch, and some people actually said, have you booked your flight for day three? So it's very, very green, lots of grass on it. But Ricky Ponting was also saying, he went down a bit earlier and saw the pitch, saying there's a lot of cracking as well. So very hot day here. It's 38 degrees today. So, yeah, expecting plenty of action today.
Now, we see that Ravi Ashwin and Rohit Sharma are both out of the Indian side. Is that a bit of a boost for the Aussies to know that, I mean, both those players are absolute guns, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Rohit Sharma is a tremendous player. And obviously Ashwin was bowled a lot of overs for them in the first test. So they're big outs for India, no doubt about that. And I think, you know, any time that you win a test match, you always want to go into the next test match with a, you know, very similar side. So two changes to them is, a bit of a bonus for the Aussies.
You mentioned Ricky Ponting being there, and I understand he also spent a bit of time with the team. I know that's nothing new, ex-players coming into the group, but is there a more of a focus on that at the moment?
I think he just sort of, you know, he's got a really good relationship with the coach, Justin Langer, and I think he just sort of, you know, pops in and pops out here and there. I think, you know, any time that Ricky's around the Australian team, I think all the boys love it. So he had a bit of time up his sleeve yesterday afternoon, so just went down. And I think he was doing a little bit of work with Aaron Finch. So hopefully that transfers into a few more runs than what he made in the first test match in Adelaide. But the batsmen are going to find it hard work, I think, today. So it's going to be interesting to see what both teams do at the toss as well.
I see in the paper that Brett Lee has said that they need to bring back the aggro, and there's no better place to do it than on a bouncy, fast Perth wicket. But I love Brett Lee's approach in that he wasn't like a big sledger. I'm sure he means the aggro in the delivery of the balls. Is that what you take out of that?
Oh, I think more, Gleeso, just the body language and the presence, I think. And I agree. Like, I don't... You know, want to see that the fast bowlers, like, you know, giving the batsman a spray. It's more about your presence as an athlete, I suppose. Like, I played against Alan Donald, and he never said a word to me on the cricket field, but, gee, I knew I was in a contest. so I think that's what we all want. We just want, you know, a bit of presence from our fast bowlers. And, you know, if they're bowling well and, you know, that and they're sort of there and their body language is good, then that's enough.
Bit of the evil eye every now and again.
Yeah, just
the
correct.
Slow burner.
Bit of eye contact, yeah.
Bluey, we heard Tim Payne talking about India having a sniff and potentially being able to achieve a terrific result here on tour. What are your impressions of them and is their confidence sky high at the moment?
Yeah, well, they've never won a test series in Australia. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But if they're ever going to do it, it's probably this summer with, you know, a couple of our great players out of the side. And they're playing some good cricket as well. They're the number one test team at the moment. But I fully expect Australia to bounce back. You know, with the conditions here, you know, India hate, you know, quick, bouncy pitches, and you know that's what they're going to get over here. So, no, I fully expect Australia to bounce back, and if it's 1-1 after this test match, geez, it sets up for a great summer.
Awesome, Bluey. Well, I know it's probably a different type of excitement getting ready to commentate on the cricket than it is to
other than
play it.
Waking up at 4 a.m. Have you got any other sort of pre-match rituals?
Oh, not really. I might go for a run actually, and try and get some nerves out of the system. But no, it's going to be a great day. And had a meeting with the other commentators yesterday afternoon, and it's a new start for everyone really on Channel 7. So we're all really excited.
Cool. You didn't get put through your paces of how to pronounce the names, did you?
No. I've been practicing all morning.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for your time, Bluey.
Good luck. Thank you.
Yeah, we're talking Google searches. What was the last thing you guys searched on Google?
Oh, I just searched quick info to prepare for our interview with Greg Blewett.
Semi so boring.
I searched up a story about Bono and Bruce Springsteen.
We're very well prepared.
Yeah, what was the most searched in 2018?
Most searched topic in Australia, excluding X-rated ones, was the World Cup, Football World Cup in Russia.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Closely followed by the Commonwealth Games. And number three, Meghan Markle.
Poor old Megan's gone from the penthouse to the crap house very quickly, hasn't she?
Yeah.
She at one stage she was the saviour of the royal family, and now she's going to be the doom of the royal family.
Well, she was also involved in the top news events. The royal wedding was first, Tyre cave rescue was second, and the Wentworth by-election came in third.
Oh, right, of course, Karen Phelps getting the job
from Malcolm's,
Malcolm used to have.
Standing down, global figures, Meghan Markle again, Demi Lovato and Freddie Mercury.
All right.
Talking about the film and
Bohemian
its success.
Rhapsody, absolutely. Demi Lovato, obviously, I didn't know much about her. She's a Disney star.
I still don't. I definitely haven't Googled her.
I think the only reason anyone knows about her is she's tried to draw attention by ODing or pretending to OD or something during the year. But one of those great fall from grace stories. She was a Disney child star, and now she's totally off the rails.
A bit like a Lindsay Lohan
Britney Spears, all the other great child Disney actors.
Worth Googling. And top Aussies to Google. We already covered the top one, Barnaby Joyce. ScoMo, Scott Morrison. I think a lot of people were trying to find out who he was.
Who the hell he is.
At the beginning. Peter Dutton, of course, the
au-pair
scandal.
Mr. Potato Head.
This one's better, Billy Slater.
Well, Billy Slater, obviously, he's there for good reason. Everyone loves Billy Slater. He's a rugby league player of some note. And one of the good guys who constantly steps up and does good works for stuff outside rugby league, as well as being a great ambassador for the game.
I'm an SA guy. I have no idea who Billy Slater is.
You're kidding, aren't you?
What's rugby? What's
rugby league? So but he's sort of transcended his sport. Okay. Yeah.
He's a bit of a model as well. I see he's done a modelling campaign.
Yeah, and he's in the horse racing now.
Yeah,
I guess
that's
still sport, but. Yeah. Open your eyes. All right. How to topics. How to opt out of my health record.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
How to watch the World Cup in Australia. I think that was probably related to the Optus
issues. Oh, of course,
issues.
The Optus scandal.
How to win Powerball. Do they think the answer is just...
So that's in the top five.
Top three. You just Google it. That's how you win.
Wouldn't it be? If only that was the case, you just Google how to win Powerball. Fantastic.
What is topics? What is Bitcoin?
Nothing.
What is Listeria? What is Ligma? What is Ligma?
I don't know. We'll have to Google that one.
Why is State of Origin on a Sunday? Why is it called Good Friday? Why is Russia OAR?
That was for the Olympics.
This is a good one. Why is Nick Cummins called the Honey Badger? And rounding out the top 10, why is my poop green?
Oh, well, you have very... But
and
what?
And the answer to that is?
You have to Google you that. Might I don't need, have the answers.
You might need to go to the doctor to find out that rather than Google. Yeah.
What do you reckon the top question is for how to cook? What's the hardest thing?
How to boil an egg.
Yeah, scrambled eggs or...
How to cook corned beef.
Corned beef. Oh. That's very American, though.
It is, corned beef.
Kind of old school. How to cook eggplant and how to cook tofu.
Yeah, the vegans and the vegetarians.
Yeah, on the rise.
On the rise.
It used to be that you had to go to the library and do your research. Now you just got to push a few buttons and whether it's true or not, it comes up and tells you exactly what you need to know.
Fast food knowledge.
There's the Google search for 2018. Ruined it for breakfast. Triple M.
Some other news that we've come across this morning. Great news for the AFLW competition. A $2.5 million TV deal has been done with Foxtel and Channel 7.
Yep, they're going leaps and bounds. Obviously, it was a resounding success this year, and it's just going from strength to strength. Yeah, and it's great to see they're getting the support that they deserve.
Indeed. So from next year, for at least the next 4 years, every AFLW game will be live on Fox Sports, while Channel 7 will show two games on a Saturday from next year.
And the great thing is, like, the standard is we've seen it radically improve in a very short time. So this type of input is only going to improve the standard and improve and just get
and
people
at the grassroots.
Yeah,
it's just exploding. So it's growing so quickly. It's becoming far more mainstream, and we're going to have the best of the best female athletes competing really soon.
That's right. Maybe my daughter will play for the Crows one day. And I get front row tickets.
104.7 Triple M.
Pressure point.
Ruined it. $1,000 pressure test.
You need 10 correct answers in 30 seconds to win the $1,000.
It'd be a nice way to go out. Absolutely. To know we've given away $1,000 today.
We'd feel like we've fulfilled our Christmas giveaways.
All right. Well, playing with us today is Raj from South Plympton. Morning, Raj. How are you going?
Good morning, Anna. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. How are you feeling ahead of the pressure test?
Under pressure.
Exactly where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we are going to get into it. In 30 seconds, we need you to name 10 beer brands.
Okay. 10 beer brands. Starting with Carlton Draft, Western Draft, Carlton Super Dry, Hahn Super Dry, Thunderbolt, Godfather. What else?
Think International.
It's 50 Shade.
Lashes.
50 Lashes. Corona. Budweiser.
We'll give him that last one, the Corona one.
Cooper, Pale Ale.
Time's right. Up.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Correct.
All right, 7's pretty good. It's unreal, the pressure, isn't it?
The pressure. It just gets to people. We thought that was an easy topic.
Yeah. Raj just got himself a double pass to Robin Hood. So congratulations, mate. See you in cinemas now. What else? Well, Heineken, there's many beers.
Oh, yeah.
Asahi.
Any South Aussie beers there as well, like
Peroni,
craft beers?
Yeah, loads of craft beers.
Furphy, Pirate Life.
Bintang,
yeah.
Quality Drop.
Oh, that's a good drop. As long as you get the Bintang without the ethanol in it that someone's brewed out the back of a bar in Bali.
Spices things up, yeah. Oh, well, lots of beer will be drunk this afternoon, I reckon. Christmas party galore.
And families, our kids are all finishing school, and I know that it's a bit of a tradition up at our school that they'll
hang
meet up.
What?
They all hang meet
on,
up.
Kids are talking about banning phones. Now kids are having beers on the final day of the year.
The parents all meet up to celebrate the end of the school year.
Any
I wish I was there.
Things we didn't get to.
Okay, I am next time. okay. Next time.
That survived, next mate, time, if we get another gig, that's getting changed.
And if we don't, it'll be because that wasn't changed.
We've got something to hang it on.
Now, this is a great blunder. It goes down like the Oscars a couple of years ago, where they read out the wrong the person who'd won the big Oscar. It goes along with Miss Universe competition a couple of years ago, where they read out the wrong name.
Australia's Next Top Model.
Another one. Port Adelaide Council held elections recently. There was a regrettable blunder in counting the votes to determine who would be the mayor. I mean, the mayor's a pretty big job. So the incumbent was Peter Jamieson, and the guy who was elected new mayor was Adrian Watton. It's a lot of mostly computer stuff now, but there is human input where you've got to input the numbers into the computer. Someone put the wrong numbers in, and so Adrian Wotton, who was obviously running around cock-a-hoop, punching the air, going, "You're
telling
beauty.
His family,
I'm the mayor. Call me the mayor in the mayor's office." Even attended a few meetings and heard some confidential stuff as mayor. Turns out that he's not the mayor.
Delay in it as well.
It's like terrible.
It's a couple of minutes.
Oh, jeepers. So Peter Jamieson, obviously, who's the incumbent mayor, he's going to have to go through a bit of a process to reclaim the title, but I think Adrian Wotton will be licking his wounds and realizing how hard the democratic process can be.
Anything else?
Yeah, mate, we've got you're 22% more likely, this is for all the Christmas shoppers out there, you're 22% more likely to have a bingle in a car park in December, because everyone is obviously very
rushing
focused
around
on what they're doing.
Everyone's in a hurry, distracted.
And even last night or yesterday, I was trying to get a park at just a local shopping centre. It was absolutely terrible. There was no parks at all.
I have a friend visiting from Sydney, and I'm always raving about how easy this city is. And, you just park on the street. It's amazing. And then we're just going round and round. And I got to the top of one of those car parks, to the dead end top, and just stuck in a traffic jam. There were no spots.
Oh, no.
I hate it when they let you in and there's no chance you're getting a park.
That's exactly right. I hate that too. Now, this is a thing that rankles a bit with me. Eurovision Song Contest. We've been guests at it over the last probably 5 or 6 years. Julia Zemiro and Sam Pang started presenting it and on SBS years and years ago. It became a bit of a thing. But now we're competing in it, and I just don't understand that. We are obviously in Southeast Asia, and we have no connection with Europe, but it turns out that Shepherd are going to battle with Kate Miller-Heidke, Mark Vincent and others to try and get their spot at the Eurovision Song Contest. What if they won? And then next year, the win, because you have it in the host country.
Oh, Australia hosts Eurovision.
So everyone has to come over from Europe. It's just unfeasible. And look, I love us competing on the world stage, but not for pretend prizes.
Agreed. Mate, 2 weeks down, Alana Smith and Dave Gleeson, it's been great.
Yep, it's been real.
So
thanks for having us.
We've had an absolute blast.
And have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Ruin Dids back on your radio in 2019. Have a good morning.
Rock on.